Preparing students for the future of work, well, it's a tough task. What are the models? How do you structure these models? Let's talk tangibly, based on things that have been done that have been successful. Nearly half of millennials say college wasn't worth their debt. Only 11% of business leaders believe graduating students are adequately prepared for the workforce. Other non-traditional education platforms have surged in popularity. College applications are dropping. 25% of students are postponing college because of the pandemic. We don't see these trends as a death to traditional education, but they're possibilities for new models, new systems that are well thought out and innovative. Today, on the FutureX podcast, Matt, Alex, and I have a deep dive conversation with Dr. Steven Gonzalez of Maricopa Community Colleges. Let's jump into the discussion. Let's go to Matt.
So when we talk about these industries, I always talk about future of work and what that means. You know, who does that work? Where will that work be done? When will that work be done? All of those are really important. But the one thing that universities and even community colleges is how do we prepare these students for that work of that future? And then the only way you're going to do that is to align the work and the skills that are needed to the needs of the market. When you talk about partnering with them, are there different models of how you would teach your students differently than a traditional model of education? Because a traditional model is, you know, 120 hours, you sit and go through a degree process and all the things that go with that. But I think in a community college, you could be nimble, you could design accordingly. And I believe, and one of the questions, and Dr. Kathy Oka maybe add on to this after your response, Dr. Gonzalez, is that what are the models that you have to create that are more aligned that can serve the industry that's in front of you?
Thank you, Matt. We have the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation that sits on Gateway's campus. And at any given time, that's housing between 15 and 18 startup companies in the biotech industry. What has spun out of that is another program called LabForce. So in downtown Phoenix, we learned about the building of this biomedical campus that started with a single building so far. It's now occupied with scientists that are studying different things. And then there's also some other buildings around that were doing some of this work, but maybe not in a collaborative nature. And the long-term plan is that this will have a larger footprint, that this will be a place where you can imagine, you know, scientists working side by side with one another. And I've got a guy who's, you know, always the entrepreneur who said, you know, Dr. Gonzalez, we've got this opportunity to perhaps be on the ground floor of the building of this biomedical campus, and quite literally the ground floor of this building that's going to go up. So we worked with Wexford Technologies, who also worked with Arizona State University and some of our other public universities and private entities to start this first building. So where we found our ability to get into this space was to realize that if you're going to have scientists that are studying and researching in these labs, you know, for every one scientist that's in there, you probably need two upwards to 10 lab assistants that are doing some of the groundwork in that. And we created LabForce, which is an educational training program to prepare students to work inside these laboratories. And we hope to be the primary sole provider of this training for, you know, once this completely gets built out, that should be a pretty lucrative opportunity for us, but also one that's contributing quite a bit, especially in that biomedical industry field, because, you know, we're somehow, some way going to be a part of the future work of that. So, Alex, that's one example of being able to capitalize on something that is happening before it happens, but being able to find where you fit in that organization, because they could have easily said to us, you're a community college and we're partnering with universities on this, and we really need, you know, PhDs in these labs. And we've said, well, we think we really need to be there to help you shore up what the PhD's work is going to be about. And now here's another thing. Being on the physical ground floor of this, we've got ideal space, and the pandemic has affected our ability to do this. But just north of the building is an art district. And so we're going to have a weekly, and right now it's probably monthly because of the COVID, but we're going to have a weekly gathering that's called Collide, where artists, scientists, and anyone else who wants to come into the space just simply to mingle. There's no agenda. It's coming in, it's exchanging ideas, it's maybe having a glass of wine or a soda while you're doing it, and then see what spins out of that. Because we find when we get these different groups of people together that may not normally get together, some really cool, interesting things happen.
Chancellor Gonzalez, I mean, listening to that really reminds me of the incubation model that so many, you know, incubators, well-known incubators in Silicon Valley, other areas have been doing. They rely on a model where, you know, they're looking at future returns on investment, and that's really where they see money coming in. From a community college standpoint, from a two-year institution standpoint, particularly one that is facing some hardships in terms of state support, as you mentioned, how do you structure this, you know, without giving away maybe too much information that you're not comfortable with? But how does one structure the funding of something? Are you looking for a return on, you know, the futures of all of these inventions, of these innovations, of this entrepreneurial endeavors? Or are you more looking to develop corporate relationships? How do you structure an innovative process like this?
Well, if they're going to be considered to be innovative, and if it's going to generate some revenue for us, then internally as an organization, I've got to convince my board to see this as an investment, a short-term investment. It's almost like angel funding in some way within our organization to say, I need funding to help contribute to the building, to the construction of this building, and I also need about $600,000, possibly upwards to $1 million in this particular case, to give these guys 3 years to launch this. And in 3 years, they're going to be self-sustainable. That's the particular model that we're using here. That's the model that we use for the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation. So we've got to be willing to invest, and with that comes risk. But we always make the educated guess through, you know, the use of data analysis and making sure that we partner with solid companies and organizations that have proven track records, so that when we finally see this beginning to happen, it's got the greatest chance of being successful.
So when you think about that concept, is probably very foreign to your institutions, your leadership. How do you get them to buy into that? How do they feel a part of the path forward without feeling that what they're doing today is not the path forward for them? You made a comment yesterday in our prep room that people have to be okay with, you know, going through a little bit of risk, giving them a little bit of leeway to potentially fail. Can you speak to that a little bit in terms of the human dynamics of how to do what you're trying to do in terms of pivoting, you know, your revenue models and so forth?
Sure. Anytime that you're attempting to sell an idea and get people behind you, you have to understand what their interests are. I can't use the same argument, you know, to sell the idea to every group. And in this instance, a group might be a corporation, a group is going to be a students, a group is going to be an administration, and a group is going to be my governing board. I can't use the same, I can use the same data, but I've got to say it in such a way that it resonates with them. So our governing board, you know, these folks have been elected to be the overseers of what the taxpayers have entrusted us with here in the state. And often we'll look at it through that lens, and sometimes only that lens, to say, is this a good use of taxpayer dollars? And essentially what you're asking a board to do is to take a gamble and to trust you. And so we've got to come fully prepared to say, yes, there's an element of risk here. This could fail. We could end up, you know, dumping $3 million that could be used somewhere else. But we're confident and we've got a strong feeling that this will be successful. At a minimum, it will break even. At a maximum, we could generate revenue for our organization. Now, if I'm approaching a group of administrators, sometimes not all of them see it. Not all of them are also willing to take that risk because their interest is quite different. Sometimes it's job security. Sometimes it's just not understanding it. And I believe that everybody has an element of entrepreneurialism and innovation inside of them. Some of them just need to be taught how to extract that. And I'm going to tell you right here that I would have never considered myself to be an innovative, entrepreneurial thinking type of person. I've learned to become one, and I've learned that I can be quite creative when I'm surrounded by creative people that just dream and think about big ideas and then find a way to make that happen.
On January of 2020, Dr. Stephen R. Gonzalez assumed the role of interim chancellor for the Maricopa County Community College District, one of the largest community college systems in the nation, serving nearly 200,000 students with the support of 10,000 faculty and staff across 10 colleges. He has nearly 25 years of instructional and administrative experience in higher education. He served as the 8th president of Gateway Community College, one of the 10 Maricopa Community Colleges. Dr. Gonzalez has served on the National Community College Hispanic Council as an executive board member, the Community College Survey of Student Engagement as a member of the Board of Directors, the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, the National Institute of Staff and Organizational Development, and the Arizona Post-Secondary Education Board of Commissioners. He has recently published an article in the New Directions for Community Colleges Journal. This episode was recorded live on Clubhouse. Check us out at the FutureX Tribe. It was produced by the FutureX Tribe, Beyond Academics, and BNext Global. Executive Director and Chief Moderator, Matt Alex. Edited by BNext Global Media. Our music is by David Cutter. I'm Hector H. Lopez. We'll see you next time as we continue our discussions with the higher ed changemakers on the FutureX podcast.